At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
Whilst the TV show deals with the big news items, we'll be taking you through the smaller and sillier stories in the news this week.
Think of it like this. If the main show is the Royal Lodge, then we're the Windsor Travel Lodge. Which... possible option for Andrew to... It does actually exist.
No way.
And I've got some reviews of it right here.
Ooh.
This is 6 months ago. Someone just starts off by going, I'm appalled.
Oh, no.
Full stop, new paragraph.
It's tense.
Firstly, the car park is completely unsuitable for anything larger than a super mini. I now have £200 worth of damage to my car as a result.
That sounds like they're poor driving.
It sounds like they smashed into the back of another car and have just...
Yeah, I think they're just using it.
Yeah.
There was a man constantly talking about Pizza Express. I jest, obviously not.
And I sat in the sauna with him and he didn't sweat a single drop.
Really 5 stars.
Someone called Heidi. Holy moly, what a dump.
Oh no.
That's actually the Royal Lodge review. Sorry, I didn't let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's understandable.
How are we, guys? Anyone feeling holy moly level of life at the moment?
Oh, always.
I wanted to ask you guys, did Mike sneak in another like legal eagle rhyme into the last episode of Have I Got News For You? You know, he did that rhyme game with us last week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. There was a bit in the show where they were talking about Hubert Legal, who was the Director General of the EU's legal service. So they managed to get in the line, legal the EU's new legal eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Whitcraft.
That's so good.
It's a classic Mike... phrase.
Talking of Mike, he's not here this week, unfortunately, because we're rotating hosts, but he has sent in a voice note with some behind the scenes insight from last week's episode of the TV show.
Ooh.
So let's have a listen.
Hello everyone, sorry I can't be there on the show this week. Actually, you know what, I'm not sorry at all. You're more than capable of doing it without me.
It's quite nice.
Yeah.
I hope you all enjoyed the main show this week. It was quite a buzz having the Prince Andrew having the Andrew Mountbatten news
nice
drop at the last minute like that. Normally, when we're recording on a Thursday, you either get sort of news coming through across the day, or annoyingly, you get the news come through on a Friday after you've already recorded. So it's quite rare to have it drop just as everyone was going on. So we're frantically writing script and getting the writers to do some gags for Jason. The audience enjoyed it. Absolutely huge cheer when they read that out. So that's quite exciting. And also, my other highlight of the news last week was the reveal that Jeremy Corbyn's going to be starring in a panto, which I think is absolutely hilarious. I say starring. You know, he's not even going to be showing up every week. They've just recorded a video of him that they're going to play in.
Oh, what?
Just to make it even more underwhelming, if that's possible.
Mike says, as he records a voice note.
But my question for you guys off that is, if you were... a panto producer, which political figure would you want to put in your panto and what character would they play? All right, see you later.
Oh,
okay.
Great note. What I love is we're getting sassy Emerald at the moment, which it's like an amazing one.
Get him.
And also, it's fully expected a slam of Mike being like, I'm glad to not be there because I don't want to do it and you guys stink.
Yeah, it was so nice.
You're good at your jobs, which was confusing.
I'm waiting for another voice note to come in at some point. where he just goes, no, actually, you're all terrible. So,
but I feel like he's recorded a soundboard, you know, those sound effects things you can press and it's just like, you're shit.
There'd be a skibbity.
There'd be one button that you press that would last for like 3 hours of Jim just talking about Warhammer, a white noise machine.
What's everyone's answer to Mike's question? If you were a panto producer, who would you want to see? And my answer is Jeremy Corbyn.
In what role?
Yeah, that's the thing.
What is he playing? The Wizard of Oslington? I think I can't do better than that.
Well, I don't know if people have commented on this, but the fact that he's playing the Wizard of Oz, who was someone who like pretended that they had this wonderful magical thing and actually was seen to be a fraud. The magic money tree coming in is.
I do think he would make a good Widow Twankey. I think he would play it up really well.
I think I'd probably get the Tories' Chris Philp to play.
Play someone just niche, completely charmless and uninspiring.
I'd get him to play Dick Whittington because he is so witty. He's so witty. So that's, you know.
Not Dick Chris Whittington. Witty.
Chris Whitty.
Chris Whitty,
we should have put a shoe in for that.
Come on.
Dick Whittington.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Let's get into round two. Well, we've each brought a story from the news this week, which we think would work perfectly for round two of the TV show. So, Emerald, what story have you got for us this week?
I have a story about a very slimy tax avoidance scheme, which has been uncovered in London.
Labour government?
You're close.
Not this time.
Westminster City Council officers have found several offices that solely contain boxes of snails in the borough, and they think it's a bizarre tax avoidance scheme.
That's just all the civil servants.
Put them in boxes.
It's really rude of them, actually. Yeah.
Wait, so they just contain snails?
Yeah, the pictures are quite unsettling. They're just like empty offices, and on the floor are these boxes, like evenly spaced out, and apparently they contain snails.
Serial killer vibes, like,
yeah. And apparently these businesses that own the offices are trying to claim agricultural business tax exemptions by saying that they're running snail farms. It does make me think, did you guys ever keep snails as a kid in a box and you've fed them cabbage and stuff? We were basically tax evading. We're lucky that no one came knocking on our door.
That's why your parents got them for you, because they wanted your best financial setup possible.
They knew you'd be in the shadow cabinet.
Yeah.
The BBC did some investigation and they're not farming enough snails for it to be a proper enough business.
The question on everyone's lips, how many snails do we have to farm to be classed as a snail farm?
You need thousands of snails, otherwise there's no business, said a snail farmer. There are snail farmers in the world.
He would say that though, wouldn't he? He doesn't want any competition.
It's true.
I have a core memory of going to a school trip in like year seven to rural France where a snail farmer had a really long thumbnail and he like stuck it in the snail.
What?
Oh my
secreted God. Juices to be like, hey, this is what we put in the cream.
No wonder you're the way you are.
He's my sleep paralysis demon. And I find it comforting.
You know, people sometimes have the long nail for drugs.
Pinky.
So this is
this is a snail now.
I remember as a teacher, a young teacher, I got the Channel Tunnel over to France and I had a little group of kids that I was taking around this French town. I couldn't speak any French or hardly any. And we walked past and someone said, are they snails? And I said, oh, you know what? Let's buy some snails for these kids so they can experience that. So I went into the butchers and bought them. They were raw snails, obviously. And
you
I was
didn't
like,
feed
handing
raw
them out to
children.
Kids.
What?
Handing them out to the kids. Being like, yeah, try them out if you want.
Oh,
like, this is really broadening their outlook on life, you know. And one of them was like, is it supposed to have this sort of garlic butter on it? I looked at it, I was like, yeah, they're definitely supposed to be cooked, aren't they?
Oh,
I look like
God.
A complete idiot.
So how long after you got out of prison were you allowed to turn to work? I'm glad we both got traumatic memories from France. Yeah. Should we hear more about the snails?
Yeah, the story of the snails. Sorry.
Have they been like rehomed? I don't know what.
Oh,
you do
I don't know
snails.
What's happened to them. But the council believe it's tax avoidance. But tax avoidance isn't illegal, unlike tax evasion.
What?
So it's unlikely they will escargot to jail.
Nice.
What do you mean tax avoidance isn't illegal?
Well, so tax avoidance includes like legal ways of getting around paying tax.
Interesting. Out of curiosity, does anyone know how many like cows it would take to constitute a farm? Because if it's like three cows, that's surely less work than boxes of snails, thousands and thousands of them.
I think Queenie doesn't know what a cow is.
I think Queenie's planning some tax avoidance. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm just saying, if you're doing agricultural tax avoidance, get a larger animal, mate.
At least, I guess, snails, stick in a box, you can leave them there.
Yeah.
You know, you go around, chuck a bit of lettuce.
I'm not saying it's easier. I'm saying it's do it right.
Okay,
you know?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're thinking along these lines because I have a very bad game for you guys to play. And the title of the game is it tax avoidance or a load of pants? Which doesn't even rhyme. I need to take lessons from Mike because it only works if you have a northern accent.
Oh, what, tax avoidance or a load of pants?
Yes.
Nice.
It doesn't really work though when I say it. Basically, I'm going to list some scenarios to you and you tell me if it's a way of getting a tax break or if I've just made it up.
Okay.
So the first option is this tax avoidance? Donating venison to a food charity. So venison is the meat you get from deers.
So you could write off the cost of the venison. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Does it give you some kind of tax break or have I just made it up?
I think you've made it up because I don't understand tax avoidance.
Me and Queenie just say made it up every time because it's more complex than just saying a very, very simple tax
bracket.
This
might be a flaw with the game. Yeah. Tax is quite complicated.
Unless it's PAYE, in, like some kind of wrapped up in that. Otherwise, we don't understand it,
we're
mate.
Just like, no, mate, it's not real.
Donating venison to a food charity is tax avoidance, legally. So from 2018 to 2023, deer hunters in the American state of Maryland could claim a tax credit for every deer that they hunted if they took it to get butchered and then that meat was used to go to soup kitchens and food relief.
So you get to do your hobby and also save money on tax.
There you go. So Bambi should think about that next time he's feeling sad.
Yeah.
His mum not only fed the hungry, but got the hunters a tax break.
It's really nice.
Okay, next item, next process. This is such a bad game. Okay.
Like the more complicated a game, the better, I think that's what they say, isn't it?
And the less my brain works. And I'm just like, yeah, that's real.
Okay, bringing antiperspirant from the UK into the US, is that tax avoidance?
I actually think it is. I feel like I've heard this somewhere. But maybe, is this a reference to Jack's?
Are we going US to UK or UK to US?
UK into the US.
So maybe not.
So have I avoided tax somehow? No way. Is this whole game just to call me out and essentially get me done over by HMRC?
And they're here tonight.
I have snitched on you.
Do I have to stay here in the States in order to get away from the fact that I'm going to be chased by a taxman? I sincerely hope not.
You're right, Jack. It's not tax avoidance. It's Jack's avoidance. That's Jack being cheap and avoiding paying extortionate New York prices for deodorant.
Jack being cheap, the prefix to most of my life stories.
Because of the first one, Emerald, I wasn't expecting that to be so good.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Just on the subject of me being cheap, I am still in New York at the moment. I should be in London. But last night I went to get my flight and they were like, we need people to volunteer and we'll pay you to stay for 24 hours.
You did that.
Stay for 24 hours.
More Jack's avoidance.
I'm not going to use the term Jack's avoidance because it makes me sound like a wanker. Doing like a third person style. And that's Jack's avoidance.
So it fits right in with your personality.
Getting in any really serious argument with like my family or relationships, I just say, Jack's avoidance. They're like, no, you need to talk about the fact you haven't processed the grief of your dead dog. Jack's avoidance.
You go away on your skateboard.
I'm actually might use that now. So
next one, buying cat food. Is that tax avoidance or a load of pants?
Cat's avoidance.
I imagine buying cat food isn't tax avoidance.
I'd also say not.
Because everyone does it.
Even if you don't have a cat, it's delicious.
Okay, so buying cat food is tax avoidance if you can prove in the US that your cat is hired by your business.
Okay, the caveat being in the US. Yes. We need to know this. Because obviously everything works.
Because you're like feeding an employee, basically.
Yeah, so in an American court, a couple defended a business expense for cat food because they owned a junkyard and they needed the cat food to attract feral cats to deter rats.
My head is in my hands.
How much cat food did they buy?
A $300 business expense deduction for cat food.
What people is that in court? Sacked the capital. Like, come on. There's other things going on.
Someone's bought some IAMs and, like, claiming it on a business expense. Yeah. And it's like...
They get tackled on the street by ICE for some reason.
Yeah. They get taken out. Chucked in the back of a
van. Okay, final one, because this game needs to end. Is this
Emerald,
tax avoidance?
I've got to say, it started very low and it has got better.
Okay. Is this tax avoidance? Setting up an offshore company so you can secretly save up all your money and spend it in ways that you don't want other people to know about. Is that tax avoidance?
Technically, no.
Yeah. It's maybe tax avoidance, maybe tax evasion, maybe it's some kind of grey area in between. It depends who you ask.
That's fun.
If you ask too many questions, then you'll end up in some kind of snail farm. That feels like a sort of mafia style.
I'll take you to the snail farm.
I'll take you to the snail farm.
Get my thumb out.
You know how they feed Italian mafia gangs? They feed people to pigs.
I thought it was to the fishes.
Yeah, I think that's if you drown, but they also like to get rid of bodies, they feed them to the pigs.
Feed them to pigs.
How long would it take to feed them to the snails?
God, it would take ages. That should be quite pleasant, I think.
Oh, like those fishes that eat a little skin off your feet?
Like a spa.
Yeah.
Except you have to stay in there for years and they eat you to the bone.
Okay, that's my tax story, confirming none of us really know anything about that.
Yeah, basically, the conclusion is don't ask too many questions. Thank you, Emerald. Queenie, what about you? What story have you got this week?
Okay, so I mainly wanted to do this story because of the Times headline, which was, "Come skive with me." In quotation marks, sick German teacher wins cooking show.
Oh, like now, sick as in like sick.
Yeah, not cool as fuck.
Not like, okay, cool.
But as in ill.
Right.
Essentially, a teacher in Cologne is facing disciplinary proceedings after being signed off sick for more than a year and going on the German version of Come Dine With Me during that time.
Oh, I absolutely love it.
That's brazen.
So brazen. Yeah.
And that's just what he was doing to the meat on Come Dine With Me. This guy's name's Dominic, and because of German privacy laws, he's just called Dominic W, which I think is pretty radical.
That's quite a cool name.
He actually featured in two TV cooking shows.
What? No,
he didn't just do it once, he did it twice. Die Kitchen Schlatt.
A kitchen what? Sorry?
I need that.
Die Kitchen Schlatt.
Come on, that's no way to talk about chefs. That's a pretty derogatory term. Yeah, give it to the kitchen sluts.
Kitchen slags.
They love it.
Really funny. And my favourite one, Das Perfect Dinner, which is Come Dine With Me.
If someone said to me, come up with a German cooking name, like I'd go, Das Perfect Dinner. Like it sounds like my mum has come up with a name who can't speak a word of German. And
that's
she decided,
why German,
you know,
is the best language on the planet.
You can just have a go at it and you're probably going to get it right.
You're probably like 98% right.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The thing is, the winners of Das Perfect Dinner get 3,000 euros.
3,000 euros?
3,000 euros. And he won.
Oh, wow. Did he?
He won. It doesn't say on this what he said he was off sick for.
Right. I've got a fever and the only cure is cooking programs.
Dominic W has declined to comment. No shit, I think. But a clip from Die Kuchenschlatt showed him smiling and introducing himself. Like, I'm Dominic, I'm 35 years old and I'm from Cologne. Teach English and geography at a high school.
No, don't say you're a teacher.
Wow.
Spokesman for the Cologne sort of body that we're investigating him said, after receiving reports about a teacher, we're investigating the matter and have decided to initiate disciplinary proceedings in the case. What do you think they're going to do?
Downgrade his 8 to a 4 in his confinement with me. They're going to take the platter away and he's actually, you know, all the money that he earned is actually this would be class.
Firing slip.
You get him in for the year and you open up P45 underneath the platter.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah.
What a sad little life, Gunther. What's the equivalent of Jane in German female name?
Jürgen.
Jürgen.
It's Jürgen.
Jürgen.
What is his little life? Jürgen is quite funny. or he's like demoted to dinner lady. I don't know.
You get Dave Lamb to commentate on all of his teaching classes from now on. That would actually be quite fun. So no, he doesn't get that. That's a reward. Aww. Excellent story. Thank you, Queenie. So we're going to my story. The story I've chosen is that AI models are resisting being switched off. So they found that basically they're developing...
I have a lot wrong with this already, before you carry on. Why are there AI models?
Do you mean AI models like
No, like AI programs. Oh, right. Sorry, yeah.
There are AI models.
There was an AI actress the other day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so that is quite a confusing language. How depressing is it when I say AI models that we have to define that? I mean program, I know. Not someone who's
not
posing.
Human.
Yeah, right. That is incredibly depressing. And I will carry on with the depressing story. AI programs are resisting being switched off. They're developing their own survival drive, which doesn't sound good.
That shouldn't be a feature. We made them.
Right.
What's wrong with people?
That's the thing. Basically, they've made them well enough that they are like sabotaging like shutdown mechanisms. So there's this company called Palisade Research, and they are an AI research safety company. And according to The Guardian, right, this company are part of a niche ecosystem of companies trying to evaluate the possibility of AI developing dangerous capabilities. Uh-huh. And the question I've got is, why is that company seen as niche?
Why is that niche?
It should be every company.
We should be saying they are one of a glut of companies, right? Yeah. That's the sort of language we should be using. But instead they're like, yeah, you know, we just got a couple of people looking to the destruction of humanity. So that makes me feel scared. But the actual research itself, so they found that models like Grok, which is the one on X/Twitter, we call it Twitter, and ChatGPT, they were given a task. But during that, they were given explicit instructions to shut themselves down after they'd done the task. And some of them didn't like doing that. So they like tried to sabotage the shutdown. And the slightly worrying thing is we can't really explain why.
What?
I quite like this quote, which they said, "The fact that we don't have robust explanations for why AI models sometimes resist shutdown, lie to achieve specific objectives, or blackmail is not ideal."
Oh, and again, God. Understatement.
Niche ecosystem of companies, not ideal. I feel like we're really underplaying what is happening here.
Do you know what I think we should do? Hear me out.
Go for it.
If we put all of these AI tech bros, everyone that works at all of the companies, and we get them in a big room and we press play on Ex Machina, right? And then we blow the room up.
Oh.
That's what I think might solve the thing.
Ah, the Ex Machina doesn't seem necessary in that story.
Yeah, I'm saying let's get rid of these guys.
Thought you were going to say put them in a room full of boxes of snails, which is maybe as, you know, intimidating. Basically, they said they were more likely to resist shutting down if they were told, "You will never run again." Which isn't very polite.
I'm sort of thinking, if I'm sitting at my desk right now, typing away, and someone comes over and is like, "Hey, can you just quickly like summarize that meeting we just had? And then when you go to sleep tonight, you won't wake up again." I'll be like, I think maybe I'm going to not take your advice.
Like
it's they're not human. So
yeah, you're now sympathizing with the AI.
Yeah. We can't humanize them. It's what they want.
As we found out from producer Diggory's story a few weeks ago, we sort of need to be polite to AI. Well, that was what I took from it anyway. But it does sound kind of like some kind of like mafia style kneecapping to be like, "You will never run again." You know, that sort
of. It's very poetic, actually.
But I also like, so there was another study that happened in summer where there was an AI firm called Anthropic. And they released a study which showed that its model, not model, but program, that they call Claude, appeared willing to blackmail a fictional executive over an extramarital affair in order to prevent being shut down.
Are you joking?
So they were going to shut it down, and he then was like, basically, to this executive,
"But I'll tell your wife."
Yeah.
Now, my only thing with this is it's not very realistic, because the program's called Claude, so it's supposed to be French, and we all know that the French don't care about extramarital affairs.
If it had a German name, however, we would.
If it was Dominic W, for example. Yeah. Then we know.
Das perfect affair.
Yeah. I'm going to... I wanted to bring another story, just a slightly smaller story that showed AI's incompetence as well, right? Because I think you have to have these stories to make you feel better.
Make us feel temporarily better.
So in Baltimore, this is a story that came out, I think it was last week, they've started using like a gun detection system using school cameras and, most importantly, AI. So the question I want to ask you is, what was teenager Tacky Allen holding that AI mistook for a gun? So he's holding something in his hand and AI thought, that's a gun.
Banana.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
A laboo-boo. A laboo-boo.
No, so this guy Allen was sat outside of school with friends when he was approached by a number of armed police officers.
That's not good.
Right? Because they were alerted to the fact he had a gun, when actually he was just holding a bag of Doritos. So he's holding a bag of crisps.
They are so thick.
Mental.
And maybe we collectively are so thick for being like, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we use something that's not accurate to sort of arrest kids?
Yeah.
I think that's a really good plan.
I mean, maybe you co-opt it for a weight loss program. Like, armed police arrive every time you crack open a pack of mini cheddars. You just get bundled by a load of police.
Oh, my God.
You'd be skinny as a rake.
My worry now is that some big arms deals are happening and the police are looking at the boxes and thinking they're just packets of Walkers.
What are the most dangerous crisps, to be fair?
Oh, squares, obviously. Walker squares.
What are they, pointy?
Not a square recently. Oh, my God. Salt and vinegar. They take the roof off your mouth.
Ah.
Monster Munch. Not because they're monsters, because the flavour of pickled onion is just disgusting, isn't it? So.
What?
That's unpopular,
no.
Jack.
No, thanks.
I find kettle chips a little bit scratchy.
I was the only one I was thinking Pringles, because they say once you pop, you just can't stop.
That's dangerous.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for the missing words round now, where I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. First up, civil servants propose raising money through what scheme?
Well, snail office scheme.
Mm.
Nice.
Mine was civil servants propose raising money through dastardly schemes.
The Americans don't have the word like scheme.
Oh.
As in like, as being like a training program. I'd say to someone like, you know, I applied for a scheme. They'd be like,
yeah.
What, you're applying to be like dastardly?
I've got civil servants propose raising money through an elaborate high-vis jacket and cherry picker heist scheme.
I like that your major focus on that thieving was the high-vis jacket. You're like,
and not the jewels.
The cherry picker is like pretty ingenious, but like the high-vis vest. These guys... But I suppose it was.
Speaking of
cute,
Halloween, so. There were a lot of jewel thieves this year.
Yeah.
At the party
dressed up as jewel thieves.
Oh, was
yeah.
it?
Oh. Yeah, all in black, high vis, jewels.
Really good.
So the answer is civil servants propose raising money through sponsor a mouse scheme.
Huh?
So
this does sound like the snail box scheme.
But this is basically the Houses of Parliament estate staff. They were asked in a newsletter for like cost cutting schemes. Like every government service, I guess, they're all being told to try and cut costs, and they decided right. The best people to ask were the people it was going to directly affect.
Yeah.
It's like, jeez. What should we...
That's funny.
How can we make your lives a bit more difficult? Mm.
Yeah. Just tell us what sort of amenities you want us to get rid of.
I'm not really a fan of chairs. Maybe I'll just stand up for the whole time. Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, laptops, that's quite difficult. Why don't we just carve everything into stone? Because that would be easier. And basically... Classically, none of the answers were serious. They just gave stupid answers like, why don't you sponsor a mouse? Because there's so many running around the Houses of Parliament.
Oh, no.
One
nice.
Of them was like, we should get rid of kale because there are too many vegetable side options. And in their words, they said, kale goes to waste as it's horrible.
Wow.
Which I didn't know that, you know, Parliament were employing.
It's like 6-year-olds.
Six-year-old kids. I've got an image of the Speaker of the House with like a spoonful of peas doing like the airplane. To like the Houses of Parliament janitor.
Here comes the every
yeah,
day.
To make sure he gets his five a day.
That's crazy.
Okay, next one. Bob Geldof says he regrets what?
Band-Aid. Live Aid. Live 8.
A lot of regrets.
I mean, he bangs on about them enough that he loves them, doesn't he?
That's all I know about Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof says he regrets buying a really expensive toaster for Lily Allen and David Harbour's wedding.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, did he actually?
No, I made that up. Oh, okay. I don't know if he knows them. I could just imagine that he would, though.
I can tell, Jack, you're really susceptible to AI.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Pope went to David Harbour and Lily Allen's wedding. Should I go? Should I give you the answer?
Yeah, yes, please. I think you
should. Bob Geldof says he regrets not running to be president of Ireland.
Mm. He probably would have won. Wait, this year?
Oh, yeah. Ever the humble man, you know, he said the day before people went to the polls, he told the Telegraph, I think I'd have walked the fucking thing. I think I would have won.
Oh, my God.
Such a way with words.
I think he's a bit thick because Catherine Connolly was dunking on people, dunking on kids when playing basketball. So I don't think anyone's going to beat that.
Was she actually? I haven't seen footage of her dunking.
Oh, my God. It's really good.
Oh, great.
She's like playing like primary school age children. And
she doesn't care. She's just like,
she doesn't care. She's absolutely nailing it. She's fucking sinking it. It's great.
Next up, study finds women use more what than men?
Study finds women use more than men.
Oh.
Just to get through the day.
Yeah. Speak for yourself, Queenie.
Wait, say again?
It's a drug thing. It's like
use
like,
more. Okay, nice. It's nice, a drug nice, joke. Nice, nice.
Study finds women use more Maybelline Dream Matte Mousse than men.
Only slightly more. Just like very, very slightly more.
Speak for yourself.
Do you need me to explain Dream Matte Mousse to you, Jack?
No, obviously not. Because if you felt my hair, you'd feel how soft it is.
Jack, it's for your face. It's foundation. Not for your hair.
Wow, okay, there we go. That's why my hair is so smooth, because I've been using face moisturiser.
It's not moisturiser.
Yeah, there we go. Like, that makes me feel like my dad. That is insane. How unplugged in I am to beauty products.
I do actually know the answer, can I tell you?
Oh, go on, Queenie.
I think that it's study finds women use more punctuation in emails than men.
Very close. The answer is study finds women use more exclamation marks than men.
Specifically exclamation
very
marks.
Specifically exclamation marks. So research found that women use exclamation marks 3 times more often than men do. Can you believe
it? It's our national shame. It's our international shame, actually.
And Emerald and Queenie are completely shocked, I can tell you. And I am nonplussed in this particular situation.
I think that the headline should be the other way around, and its study finds men, for some reason, aren't polite in emails.
I agree, Queenie. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why women have to match up to how men write their emails and write their office.
Yes, yes, sister.
This is feminism, because yeah. Jack is clicking back and forth.
It's nicer if you use exclamation marks.
Well, so basically the reason that women use it is because they don't want to be seen as being like harsh, which is like basically they're nicer. But the study mentions that exclamation mark users are often thought of as friendly. They're also perceived to be less skilled at analytical thinking. Which is a really nice way to say fun but thick, basically.
Yeah, well, bubbly. Men can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, there we go. That's the conclusion.
I could say that with an exclamation mark and maybe it wouldn't come off as harsh.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, men, go fuck yourselves.
Go fuck yourselves.
I'd actually argue that using exclamation marks in emails makes you more analytical because you have to really think about which sentences you're going to use the exclamation marks for. So and it's not like you're shocked the whole time.
If you do a university course on like analytical thinking, that's what they teach you. Is like, where are you putting this exclamation mark?
Well, actually, analytical philosophy is a lot about meaning and what words mean and what symbols are. And actually, using the exclamation marks, you probably are thinking a lot more along those lines.
Yeah, shut the fuck
Fair
up,
enough.
Jack.
Yeah, okay. No, that one could have been delivered without an exclamation mark, because I deserve it to be delivered in a way that was a lot. I got told that, and rightly so. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, I was shouting.
We posted this missing word round on our social media channels, and congratulations to Dr. Paul Turner on Twitter, who made us laugh with their response when they said, study finds women use more barely concealed scorn than men. Unless it's on this podcast where the scorn was not in any way concealed.
It's not in my contract to conceal.
Rightly so, rightly so. Follow Have I Got News for You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round. We post another one next Monday. Thank you for listening to In the News this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye.
Bye.
I want to go watch some Das Perfect Dinner.
Yeah. Honestly, it's brilliant.
Just sauerkraut every single week.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.